Good morning. It's 9:06. You're listening to Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Aaron Selbig. All over the world, vacation rental websites like Airbnb, VRBO, and HomeAway.com are changing the way people travel. The websites promise you a more authentic travel experience when you stay in someone's home instead of a hotel. But opponents say there's a downside to vacation rentals. They say they're hurting those in the traditional hospitality industry, and they may be hurting people who are looking for a rental apartment or home to live in long term. The conflict is felt especially hard in tourist hotspots like Northern Michigan, where websites like Airbnb have become very popular in recent years. With us today to talk about this issue is Dr. Heather Rassel. Heather is a chiropractor, a businesswoman. She uses Airbnb both ways. She uses the website when she travels, and she also rents out a cottage on her property to Airbnb users. Dr. Rassel, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
We're also joined by Peter Fitzsimons. Peter is the executive director of the Petoskey Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Peter's been studying the growth of vacation rentals in Northern Michigan, and he's concerned about the effect they're having on local communities. Peter Fitzsimons, good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us today is Dr. Dan McColl. Dr. McColl is an associate professor at Michigan State University, where he studies tourism and sustainability in MSU's Department of Community Sustainability. Dr. McColl, thanks for being here.
Good morning.
All right. Heather Rassel, I think we want to start with you today, and you are an Airbnb renter. Tell us about a little bit about your rental on Airbnb. If one of our listeners wanted to book a weekend with you, what could they look forward to?
Well, they would simply go to the Airbnb site, and when they find our cottage by plugging in dates and location of where they want to rent from, they could come across our cottage. And my husband and I bought a property in the woods in North Long Lake Township 2 years ago. And we renovated this property and brought it back to life. It had been vacant for 6+ years, but it used to be a Girl Scout camp. Oh. So it's pretty unique. And prior to that, in the 20s, it was built by the Armour family. So this cottage that we rent out and that we renovated before we rented it, obviously, because there was frogs in the basement and a lot of weird things in the house. Uh-huh. But it's an adorable cottage, and it has, it used to be the Armour's chauffeur's house, and his name was Ernie, so it's called Ernie's Cabin. We just call it the cottage now, the peaceful cottage in the woods.
How big is this cottage?
It is just under 1,000 square feet, and we added a third bedroom by renovating the basement. So there's 3 bedrooms and 2 baths and a adorable fireplace, and it's right next to the walking trail for the Grand Traverse County Conservancy. Oh. Where there's 200 acres.
So you started, when did you start renting this out?
So we started renting it just this May. And oh. When we bought the property, we live right next door in the bigger home in the lodge that used to be the Girl Scout camp. And we weren't planning on renting the cottage. We just thought it'd be cool to have like this extra home. And there's actually five buildings on the property. So once we renovated the big house and we moved into that with our 5 children, we thought, let's just put this up on Airbnb and see what happens. And it was super easy. It sleeps 8 people. And it took off like wildfire.
Really?
We put it on the beginning of May, and people started booking it Memorial weekend, and it was booked almost every day till the end of August.
Really? You were busy all summer.
We were super busy. It was so much fun.
Do you still rent it out in the wintertime?
We do. And at the end of the summer, my husband, Scott, and I talked about it, and we thought, well, we could give it a go and see if it rents out this fall and winter. And it's slower, but it's still renting. And in the fall months, it was just weekend rentals. People just booked it for the weekend. And then December, it's been totally dead until just the other day. We got a booking for tomorrow, and they're staying 11, a couple, is, and their 2 dogs are staying for 11 days
through the Christmas holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask what you charge?
Well, it varies. Uh-huh. So it starts out in June at around $250 a night, And then every month it goes up about $50. And I've been playing around with this. So as we get more bookings, I up the price and people still book it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Dr. Heather Rassel rents out her cottage on Airbnb. We're talking about vacation rentals in northern Michigan and how they're affecting the economy up here. If you want to join in the conversation this morning, we would love to hear from you. You can call in with your questions or comments at 800-681-5929. That number is 800-681-5929. I want to talk to Peter Fitzsimons. Peter is the executive director of the Petoskey Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Peter, I understand that these vacation rentals are popular in your neck of the woods. As a matter of fact, last night I went on to Airbnb looking to book a room in Petoskey, and I saw that between Petoskey, Charlevoix, and Boyne City, there were 110 options just on Airbnb. And I can't imagine what it must be like in the summer.
Well, that's right. The Airbnb is saying there is variety and rental, which is, in my mind, entirely.
Peter, I'm sorry, but your phone connection is cutting out on us. We're going to have to reestablish the connection, and we'll get back to you. Okay. I'm gonna turn now to Dan McColl. Dan McColl is an associate professor at Michigan State University. He studies tourism. Dan, you've been following this trend. Airbnb, and Airbnb is not the only one. There's Vrbo, there's HomeAway.com. They're relatively new to the national consciousness. Sometimes they've been in the news in a negative light in places like New York City, where I understand New York City is really cracking down on these kind of rentals. How did this phenomenon get its start?
Well, it's interesting. You know, one of the, I recall my students about 10 or 12 years ago talking to me about something called Couchsurfer.com. And that was where people could find a couch to crash on. It was largely for younger people. But the format of the website and the usability of the website was a lot like booking a room. And it was one of the first really major successful examples of peer-to-peer, an online marketplace that was hooking up travel people together so that they could, or in the tourism industry, so somebody who had a place and somebody who wanted a place. And then it just sort of grew from there. I mean, there have always been advertisements for online rentals, but the interesting thing about Airbnb is it's very easy to use, both from a provider and from a user. But if you look at some of the trends that have been going on, it makes sense that Airbnb would arise in other kinds of things that we call like part of the shared economy. You know, you have, first of all, if you have a property, as Dr. Rassel has, and you'd like to get a little extra income from it, you certainly have a supply of properties out there. And then on the demand side, some of the people who are looking to stay in these places, one of the things we're seeing is an increase in intergenerational travel, which means larger group sizes where people want to be together for a period of time. And renting a house is a nice way to do that. And then we've also seen something over the years of, this demand for authentic travel, authentic tourism, where people want more authentic experience in their travel. They don't want to be known as tourists. And, I actually looked at Google Analytics a couple of years ago, and you can check different search terms. And I checked the search terms, where do locals blank? For instance, where do locals eat? Where do mm-hmm. locals hang out? Where do locals, go for fun? And those words, where do locals put together, have increased in Google over the years pretty dramatically. The graph is sort of interesting to look at how that's grown. And I think that shows that, this idea of people looking for an authentic experience. And, with Airbnb, when you're traveling anywhere around the world, you're going into neighborhoods, you're going out of the tourism pathways. And I think that's what people see as a little bit more authentic. And then you have the internet coming along that is able to match up this demand with the supply. And it's no wonder that this has taken off.
And I understand that governments in northern Michigan are looking at this. For instance, in Traverse City, I know Traverse City hasn't changed its rules on vacation rentals in almost 20 years, and just now the City Planning Commission is taking a look at that. The way it works right now is you have to have a license in Traverse City to be able to rent out a room. And the way they kind of treat it is like a boarding house. I think that's what they had in mind, you know, when they made this rule back in the 90s before Airbnb and all this really got started. But now they're looking at it and they might loosen it up. They might restrict it more. We don't know. You've been looking at this, Dan McColl. What are governments doing in northern Michigan? I know that some of them see it as a problem.
Well, there's a lot of conversation about it, but there is no obvious solution as to how to do this. On the one side, you know, the government represents the people in an area, and you have a lot of people like Dr. Rassel who see this as quite a good thing. And others, like Convention and Visitors Bureaus and sort of traditional lodging providers who you know, they have to add a fee to their you know, something called a bed tax, sort of loosely, but a fee to every person who stays at their property. And that fee goes toward funding some kind of destination marketing organization that promotes the area. And from their perspective, they see you know, some Airbnb properties as benefiting from the promotion of an area without really contributing to that. And this has been a recognized problem of Airbnb that they're trying to address in different places around the country. I'm not sure of anything Airbnb has done in northern Michigan. It could be they're doing things. I'm just not aware of them. You know, the other aspect from a government standpoint is the regulation. So the tourism industry is very highly regulated, and there are some very good reasons for that. And so here with this whole shared economy, there's very little regulation going on. And, you know, we're talking about Airbnb and lodging properties, but the same holds for, you know, shared, you know, rides like, you know, Uber sort of famously is something that is not regulated, or, you know, certainly arose that way. And so the government is trying to figure out, well, how do we provide, you know, safety for the shared economy like we do with the rest of the economy?
And we hope to get Peter Fitzsimons back here in a moment. I know he's been studying that in Petoskey with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Dr. Rassel, let me just throw that question to you. First of all, are you paying... When you sign up with Airbnb to rent out your place, you know, are you paying taxes? I'm wondering if there's taxes for, you know, federal taxes, IRS, and also any local taxes at this point that you have to take out of your income?
There actually is a bedroom tax.
Through Airbnb?
No, not through Airbnb. The host is responsible for paying that tax.
Okay.
Airbnb stays out of it. They give you all the data at the end of the year, and it's up to the host to take care of their own taxes.
So as far as local laws are concerned, and I don't know what the local laws are in Long Lake Township, I think is where your cottage is, but you are responsible at the end of the year for paying those taxes?
Correct. And I spoke with the assessor at Long Lake Township, and she explained to me, since this is our second home, that we don't pay a homestead tax, or we don't get a homestead tax credit for the cottage anyway. Mm-hmm. So she said there's no problem with renting it. But if we rented our main home, then we couldn't accept income from that home and get a tax deduction with the homestead tax. So if one chooses to rent out their home in our county anyway for more than 2 weeks at a time, then they have to not claim that homestead tax.
Interesting. We're going to take a short break here. We are looking for your input as well. If you have a question about vacation rentals in northern Michigan, you can give us a call. 800-681-5929 is the telephone number. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with more.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio provided by Bay Ridge Assisted Living with residential and specialized memory care. Personalized services to fit a variety of needs. Information at village@bayridge.com or 231-932-9757.
You're listening to a live call-in program here on Interlochen Public Radio. If you have a question or a comment about vacation rentals in northern Michigan, you can join the conversation at 800-681-5929. Welcome back. You're tuned to Interlochen Public Radio. It's 9:22. I'm Aaron Selbig. We're having a live call-in show this morning on the subject of vacation rentals in northern Michigan. That is a thing that has become very popular over the last few years through websites like Airbnb and Vrbo and HomeAway.com. But it's created some issues. Some governments think that it is hurting the hotel industry and also hurting the long-term rental situation. We've got a couple of guests in the studio with us. We have Dr. Heather Rassel. She is a local chiropractor in the Traverse City area. She also has a cottage on her property that she rents via Airbnb. We also have with us Dan McColl. Dan is an associate professor at Michigan State University who studies tourism. We hope to get Peter Fitzsimons from the Petoskey Convention and Visitors Bureau on the phone in just a moment. Dan, let me turn back to you. You mentioned it just a few moments ago, the peer-to-peer economy. What is that exactly?
So the peer-to-peer economy or the shared economy is a term that's used to talk about sort of an online marketplace is where people who have something to offer can be matched up with people who want whatever that is. And it's really been increasing quite a bit in the tourism realm in recent years. So, you know, I talked about Uber a minute ago and we're talking about lodging. But there are other sort of niche examples of peer-to-peer travel businesses popping up. So eatwith.com, which looks at which helps people to find a place to eat. You can eat with somebody anywhere in the world, in their home, or oftentimes it'll be somebody who loves to cook and wants somebody to eat with. You know, there's RVshare.com, there's Book a Local, there's Viable, you know, Boatbound, all of these. So Boatbound, for instance, if you have a boat and you'd like to offset the cost of that boat or get a little income from it.
You can rent your boat.
You can rent your boat.
I did not know that. I might have to buy a boat just to rent it.
Well, and that's what a lot of people do. You know, they see, well, can I really afford a boat? And they think, well, if I rent it out a little bit, I can get some extra income, which will help me to afford the payments.
All right. I understand. We've got Peter Fitzsimons back on the phone. We're going to go there now. And Peter, thanks for joining us today. Can you hear us?
Well, I can hear you now.
Oh, very good. That's much better. Yeah. So, Peter, I was saying, you know, you're in the Petoskey area. I hopped on Airbnb last night, and there were 110 rentals in just the Petoskey, Charlevoix, and Boyne City area. So this has become quite the phenomenon. When did you first start to notice that this was becoming a thing in
well,
northern Michigan?
Sort of interesting. In the Petoskey News Review, we have a look-back section of and this one, particular one, looked back 50 years, and there was a call out from the local Chamber of Commerce in Petoskey to the residents of Petoskey to open up their homes for skiers because there was a lack of transient lodging. And during the ski holidays, they needed extra places. So it's sort of ironic that we're having this discussion now when 50 years ago we were begging to have people open up their homes. A couple of issues. I went on Home Away last week as well and find that there are 300-plus transient rentals
really?
In the marketplace over and above the Airbnb. And I think Airbnb is a little different because you're providing some on-site management, so to speak, of transient rentals, albeit they don't have to abide by the laws of the innkeeper. And I'm an old hotelier. I was with Holiday Inns for 18 years and very aware of, you know, the rights of the innkeeper and the differences between innkeepers and landlords and tenants and so forth. And it's kind of discouraging to me that we have these cottage industries that are taking business away from legitimate businesses.
I understand there are some other issues as well. I mean, one thing we've heard in Traverse City, and this is a little bit different situation than when Dr. Rassel is doing. She's got a cottage that's kind of out in a rural area, but people in central neighborhood in Traverse City are renting rooms in their homes or even renting their entire home via Vrbo or Airbnb, and neighbors are complaining about, you know, loud music and parties, and it's changing the face of their neighborhood, and I heard one person say commercializing their neighborhood.
Our old city manager who left last year had one right next door to his home. And he said at one point they had a fraternity party going on in the front yard right next door to his house. So there are horror stories, and probably 90-95% of the rentals are well-meaning families, but you get the occasional fraternity party or wedding reception or bachelor party or something like that, and with little or no regard for the neighborhoods.
We're talking about vacation rentals in northern Michigan. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-681-5929. Let's go to the phones now to line one, where we're joined by Beth from Traverse City. Beth, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, my question was, especially after hearing Heather, if these homes are being operated like businesses, is there some way to have them taxed as businesses, or why aren't they being taxed as businesses? I don't know if they are or not. So just a question, because I don't know. It's not an issue that's, you know, real significant to me personally, but the housing issue in Traverse City is of significance to me. So.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Beth, for that question. Dr. Rassel,
sure.
We talked about this briefly a second ago, and I know that this varies depending on where you are, but explain a little bit more about how you address that tax situation.
Well, it is income.
Uh-huh.
So whether it's anybody who's running a business has to pay income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So like in my practice, I have a corporation, and the money flows through my corporation, but then it flows to me personally, and what's netted is what is the amount that you have to pay income tax on. So since this isn't like a cash deal, you know, you can't
right.
really hide it. So Airbnb, all the money goes to Airbnb from the guest, and then Airbnb makes a direct deposit into our account. And then they keep track of that, and at the end of the year, they show us what the total is.
Okay.
Heather, I have a question.
Go ahead.
When Airbnb sends you a statement, do they issue a 1099, or do they just let you know what they...
They do. And actually, this is our first year, so it'll be new for us, but you can log on our site and then see like where we're at, and they do issue that 1099.
It is a 1099.
Yes.
And then are you responsible, Heather, for taking care of your tax bill. It's not like
correct.
What I'm getting is Airbnb is not paying these taxes
no.
for you. It's your responsibility to make sure that the taxes are paid.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Beth, thanks for the call. 800-681-5929 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones again to line two, where we're joined. No, I understand we've lost our caller. Okay, 800-681-5929 is the telephone number. I want to address this question of long-term rentals. That is a big problem all over northern Michigan, a lack of availability of long-term rentals, especially in the summertime. Peter Fitzsimons, let me ask you about that. Do you think that issue of people not being able to find long-term rentals and paying a lot more than they used to, do you think that's exacerbated by this peer-to-peer vacation rental economy?
Well, in my personal opinion, yes, because when I look and see HomeAway has over 300 rentals in their program, I have to believe that many of those used to be in the longer-term rental pool, which was available for summer employees, for people who were relocating to the area that were working, and it's taking a lot of housing away from employees, and not just service employees. This is employees all across the board, and Traverse City is no different than Petoskey and Arbor Springs. We are in a critical shortage of employees in every sector, and I think that this exacerbates the problem. And that problem compounds itself. I think Dan would probably agree with me, is that when you're a manager and you are short of employees, it's not that you forget how to manage, but you don't manage as effectively because you know that that employee will just say, okay, I don't have to put up with this, I quit. And then all of a sudden you're shorter staff than you started out with. So trying to keep a high level of hospitality is very difficult when you're short-staffed.
All right, let me put this question to you as well, Dr. Dan McColl at MSU. Affecting the long-term rental market, and as Peter mentioned, you know, affecting that workforce housing area, which is a big problem in a lot of places. You know, you hear that a lot in Leelanau County, places like Glen Arbor. In the summertime, they're having a hard time the last few years hiring enough workers because there's nowhere for them to live. Are you hearing anything from local governments, officials, that this peer-to-peer vacation rental economy is affecting that problem?
It is a well-known problem actually throughout the world in tourism locations. There's been a big hubbub over in Venice, Italy, New Orleans, San Francisco just had a well-known issue where Airbnb successfully lobbied against the city council that was trying to implement some kind of regulations on limiting the number of short-term lodging opportunities. And one of the things that Airbnb at that time in San Francisco recognized was this problem of long-term rentals, and especially in tourism areas where you know, there is a shortage of employees, and part of the reason for the shortage of employees is affordable places to live in the area. You know, everywhere from a big city like San Francisco to small mountain ski towns to the small towns that attract a lot of tourists around, in northern Michigan. You know, and housing is part of the issue that's going on up there. You know, famously, the Homestead had a job fair last spring, and they didn't have a single person come by. And so they weren't able to offer the same kind of level of programming that they typically do.
Well, they had to shut down their restaurant, I believe, as I recall.
One of their restaurants mm-hmm. in a camp that they operate, yeah.
Well, let me ask you that, Dr. Rassel. You have this cottage. It's on your property. As I understand it, it's next to your main house where you live. Would you ever consider renting that out as a long-term rental to a family or somebody who wanted to rent it out for, you know, 6 months or a year or longer? Would that be a possibility for you?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
But when actually last year we had two college type guys rent it before we had renovated it enough to consider it as a short-term rental.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I mean, the difference in how much we're making, it doesn't make sense to do that. But I do agree with the two gentlemen that it is, I believe, affecting the downtown long-term rentals. I mean, it is hard to find a place to rent. When I first moved up here 10 years ago, trying to find a home to rent was hard. And so now I would assume it's probably even more difficult. But I have noticed also in our downtown Traverse City, there's new developments popping up right now. And just recently, for instance, well, the Washington Place building has 5 levels of condos. Those are higher end. But near Woodmere, there's more housing. And so I see these advertisements that coming soon, these new places for people to stay. So hopefully that will help. And Traverse City seems to be making an effort to do that.
Yeah, we'll take a call in just a second here. And if you want to jump in with your call, the number is 800-681-5929. But I want to ask Dan McColl, we've also heard that there are people who are building apartment buildings. I don't know if this is happening in northern Michigan or not, but they're building apartment buildings for the express purpose of renting them out as peer-to-peer vacation rentals. Is that true?
I have heard this, you know, and it's exactly what Dr. Russell just said, that, you know, it's really attractive to a property owner to do this. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of us would certainly understand where that comes from. But, you know, it obviously it creates other problems. So it solves one person's problem, or it actually helps a lot of tourists. There is demand for this. So, you know, you could argue that this is something that tourists want. And it's certainly there are enough suppliers out there of short-term rentals. This is one of the things that Airbnb is very conscious of and sees as they're very aware. Their business model relies on trying to minimize some of these problems because they know there's going to be increased scrutiny and regulation on this. And one of the things they are focusing on is trying to make it so it is a primary home that is being rented, that they are trying to limit people having multiple locations that they have for sale, that people essentially enter, you know, become innkeepers without officially being innkeepers by, renting out multiple properties, because that is something that is going on that they need to address. That was not sort of in the spirit of what they were hoping for when they created Airbnb.
Let's go to the phone lines now. Again, the phone number 800-681-5929 if you want to call in with your questions or comments. Let's go to Mandy on line one. Mandy, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great topic. Number one, I am a certified QuickBooks advisor, which means I have several clients who I help with their bookkeeping issues. And I want to make it clear that, yes, people who do this do pay tax. They pay income tax, both at the state and federal level, and they also pay use tax. So that is a pertinent point.
Use tax?
The industry has to use. What? Use tax is another tax that they have to pay.
What is that exactly?
So they do pay taxes. It's an extra kind of a tax. It's kind of, I guess, the closest analogy you could give is a sales tax on service.
Okay.
So it's not something that every business has to do, but this kind of a business does. So that is a good point, though, that the hotel industry pays into a fund to promote the area, and the Airbnb people can take advantage of that. The main thing I want to say is I have used Airbnb several times as I've traveled, and I so appreciate being able to have that experience of being able to be in a neighborhood, meet local people, really get to know the community that I'm visiting instead of staying at a hotel where I'm just by myself, nothing. You know, and if I meet somebody else, it's another traveler. It's not a local person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, we need to say there's opportunity for all kinds of places for people to stay when they travel. And the other point I want to make is my personal opinion is that I don't think it affects the hotel industry as much as people worry it's going to, because I know so many people, when I tell them I travel with Airbnb, they're horrified, like, I would never do that. I wouldn't want to stay, you know, in somebody's house in a neighborhood. I don't know. There's so many people who wouldn't do it that I think there's, you know, there's opportunity for variety. I'm all in favor of it.
Thanks for that, Mandy. I want to put that question to Peter Fitzsimons. Peter is with the Petoskey Convention and Visitors Bureau. It does seem like, you know, these aren't necessarily the same pool of customers, you know. Mandy makes the point that there are people that are going to stay in a hotel no matter what. And then there are people like Dr. Rassel who are looking for, you know, I guess authentic, for a lack of a better word, who would do. There are people who would do this Airbnb thing, and there are people who wouldn't. True?
True. I might point out also that sales and use tax are synonymous. Use tax is not a separate tax. It's the same as the sales tax. It's just tax on a service. So it's a 6%, whether it's a commodity that's sold or a commodity that's consumed. They just call it different things. And there is a difference, I think, in what we're talking about. Airbnb, I think, is one issue. The home away and that whole set of private home rentals is an entirely different issue, and that's kind of what I was keen on. Yeah. Yes, there are people that prefer the bed and breakfast experience. And does it take away from traditional lodging? In my particular case, yes. We have a couple of country inns, a Terrace Inn, and Stafford's Bayview Inn, for example, that are very personable, very authentic, have the same type of experience. So there could be a leakage of business there. But yes, the peer-to-peer is a different business. From my perspective, I look at many of those, including Uber and some others, as more underground economies. I worry that, you know, I don't worry extensively that all of the taxes and fees are paid. I don't look at those as something from a personal standpoint as running a visitor's bureau that relies on hotel assessments. That's not the big issue. I think the irony is the professional lodging establishments are funding my marketing campaigns that are making the area more popular, like Traverse City, CVB, and actually almost encouraging people to take advantage of our marketing efforts. And it's the old getting the milk without buying the cow.
All right. Dr. Rassel, let me give you a chance to respond to that. I mean, he makes a valid point. You may be paying taxes, but you're not paying into the tourist and advertising campaigns that all these hotel owners are that, you know, you could make a good argument that you're benefiting from.
I think if you ask any local Traverse City person if we need to do more marketing to get people here, they'd say, no, I don't think so.
Right.
They try to steer people away. Shh.
Oh,
it really
I
sucks here.
That.
It's not beautiful. Go
okay,
away.
Okay, okay. Let's take another call, shall we? Let's go to line 4, where we're joined by Tony. Tony, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thanks. You know, I've been in 2008, Traverse City addressed the issue of weekly rentals. I was a handyman here in town. I had 23 units. You know, versus some of the properties that are rented out monthly or yearly, they're not as well maintained or taken care of as my properties were because of the amount of money that people were paying to stay there. The biggest issue with Traverse City is we do not have enough affordable housing. Yes, they're building apartment complexes all day long, but when our workers are only making minimum wage or higher, you know, they can't afford a $1,200 monthly rent on some of these apartments that are building. That's the biggest issue for anything here is more affordable housing, housing that can afford the workers that we're trying to staff here. I run a shop here in town as well, and I have a hard time finding workers for welders and fabricators and painters and stuff. And it's just because we can't afford to pay them a high dollar so that they can afford to live here in the area.
Do you...
The cottages don't take away from the hotels. I was a manager at a hotel as well. And, you know, it's a whole different atmosphere in these cottages than it is at a hotel.
But you think that renting out a cottage or a granny flat apartment, doing that via vacation rental, that is hurting the long-term rental economy?
I don't think so, is the fact that because there's not enough affordable ones. I mean, you know, that's the biggest point of it is they don't hurt much. Yes,
okay.
You have bad ones that come in and don't maintain their property far as keeping the noise down and that kind of thing. But overall, I mean, our hotel had 96 rooms. In the summertime, we were constantly full. And I still had 23 cottages that I took care of and overseen. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's just we've got to get more affordable housing in this area. And not all this high-end stuff, because that's where people can't afford to work here and live here.
All right. Thanks, Tony, for your call. I appreciate that. Dan McColl, I want to turn to you. You know, I can't blame people for doing this. I mean, we've heard about some of the problems and issues that vacation rentals raise. But if I were in Dr. Rassel's shoes and you have the ability to rent out a cottage starting at $250 a night and you can keep that thing booked all summer long, I mean, do the math. This is something that people up north, many of whom, there's a long tradition up north of looking for extra ways to make money. I really can't blame them. And I don't know about other places, but I know for a fact in Traverse City, there are a lot of people who, I don't think you would call them regular criminals, but they're doing this illegally, and they know that they're doing it illegally, and they're doing it anyway. My question for you, Dan, is if governments are looking to put in new regulations to slow this down or curb it or to even stop it, how is that even possible at this point? It seems like, you know, Pandora's box has already been opened here.
Well, there's no answer to that. And the reason there's no answer, it's very difficult. I think, you know, this is very new. And like most things, it came on, well, not most things, like most things recently that are related to the tech industry, it's come on very fast and become very popular very quickly. And as you mentioned, you know, $250 a night, and I think that's her bottom price. She's realizing she can probably get more for that.
Right.
And I don't think many of us would blame her and many other people who do the same thing. You know, as I mentioned, there's a market of supply and a market of demand. You know, I'm an economist, so I tend to talk in those terms, but there are people who want to rent out their places and there are people who want to rent them. And so where this is going to end up will be interesting. But back to the previous caller, and this relates to one of the things the previous caller mentioned is she didn't think that it would affect hotel business. And to Peter's point, I think in certain areas it will. You know, when I think back to movie theaters and, you know, around the 80s when VCRs started coming up and then, you know, as people had bigger and better TVs and stereo systems, people thought, well, movie theaters are going to go out of business. And they mm-hmm. haven't. They've provided a different kind of experience that's very similar because there are markets of people still want to go to a movie theater and be with an audience and sit in comfy chairs and you know, have a bigger screen. And people still, you know, watch movies in their houses too. So I think we'll probably end up finding some kind of similar equilibrium with this. I think there are people who want to be a little bit more pampered, and you get that in a hotel. And there are people who, you know, want to have a place where either a large group can gather or, you know, sometimes Airbnb is chosen because it's the cheaper alternative or because it has a kitchen and people can save money on restaurants. You know, I to be honest, I think lodging will probably change a little bit. And I think that will, you know, in the lodging properties that seem to be most affected by this are at the lower end. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see where this ends up. And the reason there's no easy solution for governments, either local or state level or even federal in some cases, is there's no easy solution to figure out how to solve this issue.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. 800-681-5929 is the number if you want to jump in the last 10 minutes here. Let's go to Tim on line 4. Tim, thank you. Tim, you've been waiting. Thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
Sure. So No, I was going to say something else, but I kind of want to reiterate what a previous caller said about the affordable housing.
Okay.
That is a serious issue, and I wouldn't doubt that, you know, Airbnb and some of these other sites are causing a little bit of impact on that. But I'm an avid user of Airbnb and VRBO, both as a business traveler and a vacationer. I've utilized them all over the world. And I don't know that I've ever stayed in a place that would ever have been considered something that, you know, a worker could afford as affordable housing. I think we're confusing those two. Again, I'm not saying it never infringes on that piece of the economy, but, you know, telling people what they can and can't do with their homes, I don't think it's going to be a solution to affordable housing. That's a larger political and economic issue. But on top of that, I wanted to say, too, that as an avid user of these services, I think we have to be careful about how we regulate them, and I hear people calling them illegitimate businesses. This is where the demographics of the millennials are going. You know, once they've tasted an experience of traveling overseas and staying in the home with another family, or even going on business and sharing a meal with somebody who you rented a bedroom in their home, or whether it's their whole house, this is a strong and powerful movement. And I think some communities like our own would be damaging our economies on some level if we were to all of a sudden take an aggressive approach to limiting them or eliminating them.
All right. Thanks, Tim, for that. I want to turn to Peter with that question. And you know, I asked this to Dan a moment ago, but Peter, this kind of seems like an unstoppable train. Is there a place in your mind for peer-to-peer vacation rentals?
Well, sort of interesting. It brought an image back to my mind. I started at the Holiday Inn of Traverse City a week before it opened in 1968 as a $1 an hour busboy. And on the front page of the Record Eagle, they professed that the Holiday Inn was going to ruin tourism in Traverse City because it was going to put all of the little motels out of business.
Did that end up happening?
Not exactly.
No?
But I worked my way up from busboy, and eventually, after a few months, I became a night auditor. And I remember vividly posting room and tax. It was $10 room, 40 cents tax.
Wow.
And it went up to $11.44. I mean, it's difficult to see the future, but it certainly did not ruin Traverse City like the prognosticators said.
Well, it sounds like you're saying that it's, you know, that's possible. That may be the case in this situation, that the popularity of Northern Michigan is such as it is right now, that there's room for everybody.
There well could be, and this could be the future, and this is probably just the tip of the iceberg. But, you know, when I look at things, I look more from a lodging side because that's where my base is. But when you think about bringing thousands of other visitors not staying in hotels, considering that the hotels are full, you have to consider what the effects on restaurants and gas stations and retail by having all those extra people in town are. Also, the effects that they have on other services, community, municipal services as well.
All right, let's take another call here. We've just got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Let's go to Charlie on line 6. Charlie, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak about the potential positive economic impact that as a renter of a weekly unit in downtown Traverse City, that affords us the ability to, in years past, go up to Munising, Marquette. So not only are we getting the economic impact of having a tenant come and spend monies in Traverse City, we also are affording the ability to go be tourists elsewhere within the state. So just wanted to touch upon that.
All right.
Yeah, and Aaron, there have been a lot of studies to look at the economic impact from places like Airbnb and have captured, you know, some of what the caller is talking about.
All right. Thanks for that, Charlie. I appreciate that. Let's try to squeeze in another call here. We'll go to line 5, where we're joined by Dennis from – Dennis is gone. Okay. All right. We've got about 5 minutes left. I want to come back to you, Dr. Rassel. I know that not only are you a renter of your cottage on Airbnb, but you use it as well. And I must confess, I've never done that. What's it like? What's it like from the user experience?
Well, it is super easy, like everyone's saying, user-friendly. And my husband and I used it for the first time as renters or guests 2 years ago. And we took a trip to Italy. And out of the 18 nights, we stayed 16 at Airbnbs. Hmm. Went to Venice. So we went. We did everything from like a high-end place in Venice to renting a car and then going north to the mountains and staying in this little farmhouse in Costanza. And it was an amazing, authentic experience. And I couldn't imagine having to find a hotel in those places because further north, there really are none.
Do you ever have any problems with your guests?
We haven't yet.
No?
Nope. And one thing about that is Airbnb has a review system, so people want to be on their best behavior in the community of Airbnb, because if they get a poor rating, whether they're a guest or a host, people aren't going to want to stay there. And then if they're a guest that trashed the home or something like that, then they'll get a poor rating and people can choose not to rent to them. So we've had a lot of success, and that's why I think we have.
Peter Fitzsimons, have folks in the tourism industry in Michigan taken any action on this? I haven't heard about any organized movement. Have there been conversations in your industry about taking an organized stand against this?
Well, there is an organized stand by the Michigan Association of Convention and Visitors Bureaus. Looking at the Pure Michigan website, michigan.org, we noted that there are somewhere in the neighborhood of over 2,000 rentals, home rentals on the site. Some are professional home rentals. Many are VRBO, home away, those types of things. And our position is that the Michigan.org is a state website, and it should be for businesses. It's actually run through the MEDC, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, which is a pro-business entity of the state, and to have the homestead non-professional on the site is something that we don't want to tolerate. So we are asking them to have anybody that's on the site provide at least an EIN number.
Dr. McColl at MSU, what if there were just a few more regulations on vacation rentals? Like, you know, it seems like the biggest issue that Peter is raising is that these folks are not paying into the tourism marketing that's happening in Michigan. What if they did? What if there was a requirement that they had to pay into that? What if there were a few more requirements about noise and things like that and paying their share? Do you think there's a middle ground here?
Well, Airbnb, for instance, has agreed that they see this as an issue. You know, Dr. Rassel, admitted it was, it seemed a little unfair to benefit from the promotion that they don't pay into. And a lot of Airbnb hosts and, recognize it as an issue. The problem is, and there have been attempts to regulate this. The problem is enforcing it. And part of it is, you know, there are going to be people who just aren't going to pay it. But the other part of it is, you know, a lot of, you know, some people have a property that they rent every weekend or every week or throughout the year. Other people, just do it two or three times a year when they travel. And so it becomes a very difficult kind of thing to regulate because of that variation.
And with that, we're going to wrap up. I want to thank our guest today, Dr. Dan McColl, an associate professor at Michigan State University who studies tourism. Dan, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron.
Peter Fitzsimons with the Petoskey Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Peter, appreciate your being on the show today.
Thanks, Aaron.
And Dr. Heather Rassel renting out her cottage on Airbnb. Good luck to you, Heather, and thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
You're tuned to Interlochen Public Radio, WICA Traverse City, 91.5 FM, WLMN Manistee, 89.7 FM, and WHBP Harbor Springs, 90.1 FM. It's 10 o'clock.